What does it mean to love? To many, the love simply means to say those three magical words, I love you. Certainly, these are good words to say, they're good words to hear, but the extent of our love should be so much more than words. It should also include our actions. If you have your Bible, please open it and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, let's consider together a few words about love that are found in verse 5. There the scripture says concerning love that it does not behave rudely, nor does it seek its own. In our lives, often we're treated badly or rudely, and what is often our reaction to that? Well, many times we want to treat others rudely just like we were treated. But certainly that's not the attitude that we should have toward others and the love that we should show toward others as Christians. Jesus talked a little bit about this love that we should show toward those who might not treat us right in Matthew chapter 5. Turn there and read with me in Matthew chapter 5 the words of Jesus that are contained in verse 44. There he said, "But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." Again, so often whenever somebody does something bad to us, we want to teach them a lesson and do something bad to them just like they did to us. But such is not the attitude of Christ. Jesus said, when this happens to you, love your enemies. Do good to those who do bad things for you, and not only that, but also pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Now, the teaching of Christ is such a great thing on this issue, but the teaching of Jesus, I submit to you, is not powerful just because he spoke it. But this teaching is powerful because Jesus also lived it himself. Turn over with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, and let's read there a little bit about what Jesus did in return to those who did bad things to him. In 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 21, the Bible says, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return, when he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously." The Apostle Peter here tells us that Christ suffered these things because he was leaving us an example that we should follow in the exact same steps in which he walked. I know we all remember the story of Jesus on the cross, how he was ridiculed by people, mocking him, saying, "Oh yeah, sure, you're the king of the God, king of the Jews," knowing that, or thinking within themselves rather, that certainly he was not. But what did he do? He sat quiet. He didn't respond evil for evil. As the Bible says, he didn't revile as he was reviled. And not only that, but whenever he suffered, certainly we remember the scourgings of Jesus, how he was beaten so severely, and how probably, no doubt, he was so weak that he could even hardly carry the cross on his own. It was so strong, or it was so great, rather, the weight of it, that he fell beneath that cross and was so weak. But whenever Jesus suffered, did he go back in a fighting rage toward those people? No, certainly not. Whenever he suffered, he did not threaten. But he said, "I will wait. Hopefully those people will repent, but if not, I will let God the Father be the judge in that final day." And certainly we should follow in these same steps as Jesus. Let us love others, not only in word, but as the Apostle John would write in 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, also in deed and in truth.